Come back to 2 Timothy with me this morning. 2 Timothy 3. And remembering last time I was here 2 weeks ago, living in dark days, a friend of mine put up a thing on Facebook this week I thought was clever. I didn't have the foresight to copy it. I don't know where it is, but it said, "These are difficult times," and then it had up there 12 over 9, 18 over 16, you know, things like that. It was a musical reference. He's a musical guy. "These are difficult time signatures." I thought it was clever. These are difficult times, though, aren't they, that we live in? There's times of difficulty. We call them dark days. That in the last days there will become times of difficulty. That's today. They have a very bleak description in those verses in this chapter 1 through 5. People acting out their evil desires, sinful, lecherous religious leaders in verse 6. People that are teaching that are not even redeemed in verse 7. Always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth makes it really important to be careful who you listen to. The Johns and John Bray's illustration in verses 8 and 9, they opposed the truth. It says they had a corrupted mind, unbelievers, they were disqualified, and their works were evil, were easy to spot. We talked a little bit about how to live then in dark days. You, however, it's an encouragement to us to persevere. Persevere. You, however, remember how far you have come following Paul's example, remembering God's faithfulness in verse 11. God rescued me from them all, Paul said. Remembering that we will be persecuted in 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And that the world is not getting better, as some would have us believe. We would certainly hope, but this is not going to happen. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. Wow. So, it can be difficult. It can be heavy to live in this world, in these dark times. But God has the answer for us. We're going to dig into that a little bit more today. How to live in dark days. Not really enough, or possibly even not maybe all that helpful, just to say, hey, world's fallen, it's dark, go home, right? But the Bible gives us instruction on what to do as we live in this place and how to persevere and even flourish in these dark days. So read with me the next few verses. But as for you, so then living in dark days, and then he gives us more encouragement. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how, from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Pray with me once again as we dig into this rest of this chapter. Lord, we do thank you for the perfect nature of your word. It's good for everything we need for life and godliness. And certainly where we live and when we live, we desperately need a foundation of truth. There's a lot of ideas in our world, ideas that just really seem to come out of left field at times. Changing fluid nature of what's true in our culture, or even if anything is true. Crazy, crazy place to live. And so we're just thankful for your word. Just pray you'd encourage us through your spirit and change us and grow us today as we dig into your word yet again. We're thankful for your love and all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. But as for you, continue. This could certainly, we talked about this last time I was here, this could certainly have a message all of its own. Persevere. Persevere in this world. Christians need endurance, or what the Bible calls perseverance, to keep doing what God has called us to do. Life in Christ is for the long haul. It is for the long haul and not just the one-time firecracker decision type thing. We have to persevere. Life will have its normal ups and downs, won't it? Life will. And that's part of living here as well. Keep faith and remember what you have learned, what you have firmly believed, and know from whom you have learned it. Great discipleship insights there. Keep serving Jesus. Keep serving Jesus. Persevere. How? How are we going to persevere in this world? Should we go crawl under a rock? Should we go move out into the mountains? Could we get high-speed internet in the mountains? Right? What should we do? How do we persevere? God's Word. How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Life is crazy sometimes in dark days. Sometimes life is depressing in dark days. Sometimes, sadly, love is rare. I've met a lot of people whose life has very little love in it. And it's a sad thing to hear their story and to talk with them. There's so little love. And really, even we would recognize that in our own hearts, how hard it is to be sacrificially loving. Love is rare, though, in our world. People are just trying to make it. People are doing their own thing, whatever. It can be hard. We need something in these dark days to give us hope and stability. We do. We desperately need it. We live in a dark and crazy world, and we have to admit that sometimes it's hard to live here. And God's Word is that thing. It is that anchor in our storm. It is the anchor or the firm foundation in the brokenness of a chaotic world. It is a rock of truth in a world full of deception and lies. And what we experience, I think, a lot of times is people are trying to figure out life, and then they don't even know what they're trying to figure out, and then they teach it like it's truth. But really, in the midst of all of that, so people are spouting these ideas, this is right, this is wrong, or whatever, all the time, and different, you know, I guess like even the issue of psychology is a huge example of that, where people have tried to figure out how humans work, and so they write books, and then they laugh about how that someone got it wrong, and then they quote them. I mean, it's just crazy. And then the people that we say are the best psychologists, their lives were a mess. They were a truck wreck. They didn't know. So people, and that's one sense of it, but then behind the scenes of all of these voices in our world is also a very real devil and his minions working, spreading lies in this world. We need something that is true, something that we can know is true. Otherwise, you just kind of make it up as you go along. You can say whatever you want is true. We need an anchor. We need a rock. We looked at that a little bit this morning. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer from the end of the earth. I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God is higher than I. God is above me. He's not me. He's not limited like I am. He is the rock. He is the foundation, and he is at the same time higher than I. He's the authority. How do we know about this God? How do we know the will of this God? God's Word. God's Word. Oh, come on, machine. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. If you're a student, that should be your life verse. You can take that right to school. Your teacher starts saying, hey, look, I have more understanding than all my teachers. But isn't that good? We have people wanting you to believe things in this world, the talking heads, whatever. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Your testimonies. I meditate on your word. Your testimonies are what I meditate on. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. Think about that. How do you survive these dark days? You look into what God has said. You dig into his word and you hope in what he said. You put credence into that and you say, yes, I agree with what you say, God. I believe what you say and I hope in your word. When they were having sort of a crisis of ministry with the original 12 and Jesus was challenging their commitment, really. And he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter had this beautiful statement. He says to Jesus, Peter answered him, he said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Whoa. The Word of God, God's Word, gives us hope, gives us wisdom, understanding, the words of eternal life. And so we come to 2 Timothy, and it says that all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's Word. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the entire Bible. This is, in a sense, giving us a text for the doctrine of the Bible, the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. The Bible that you have was subjected to what we call canonicity tests to say if it was genuine, if it was genuinely from God. The tests were the authority of the book, prophetic authorship, someone who said they spoke for God, and there was affirmation of that, authenticity and free from error, life-transforming power of the book, and then Christian acceptance of the book. Has the church accepted this book? Has the church used this book? And really, the canon, when we decided that the Bible was the Bible, was just us as humans trying to affirm what God had already done. God gave us, God breathed. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So God gave us His Word, and then He directed, and so that we have, and you can hold in your hands a copy of what God wants you to have today. Now, the Bible is what we call special revelation. That's what it says. It's God breathed. God breathed it out. It's literally God speaking, breathing. It's the breath of God inspiring man to man and through man. So God used people, of course, right? He doesn't say that God penned it. He didn't write it down and send just a hard copy of it. He breathed it out through people. The Holy Spirit inspired. It's special revelation then in that way. You can go outside, and if your mind is working and you're not angry about something, you can tell you've got a creator, right? And you look at this stuff don't happen by accident. There's definitely got to be a creator. Too much order, too many things work together. But that doesn't tell us who this creator is. That doesn't tell us enough about this creator to know him. And so we needed what we call special revelation. Long ago and in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God knew. Olden days spoke by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the world. So God's speaking and has been speaking to people, and then we have those speakings of the prophets in the Bible. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So people wrote down, as they were inspired by God, wrote down what God wanted us to have, wanted us to know, wanted us to put in the Scripture. Direct, special revelation. And it's all of the Bible. Notice that it says all Scripture is breathed out by God. And we use the word plenary to describe that. It means the whole thing is inspired by God. And you may have met someone or debated with someone who's says they believe this or that, but not this or that about the Bible. And I understand that. However, God does not give us that authority. You either accept what the Bible says or you don't. That's the only option that we have. Some people don't want to believe that, but that is the truth. Who gets to be the arbitrator of what you want to believe and don't? It's you. Do you see? That's a problem with that. You either have to accept all of what God says or none of it, because you don't have the authority to be arbitrator of what you accept. I met a guy once and had a good relationship with him, and we debated a lot. But he said, I believe all the words that are in red. That was all he would believe, all the words that are in red. The rest of it, no. That's crazy. The same people penned, wrote down what's in red, that wrote down what's in black. And then some printer is the only reason they're in red. There's no red Greek, right? You know, here's the Greek that's in red, you know. He wanted to choose what he believed. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Proof is correction and those things. All the Bible
And then it is also sufficient. Notice that it's profitable. It's good. It's designed for something. It's designed to help us for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Notice what Peter says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Awesome statement, right? What does it mean? How has he granted to us all things? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Primarily, that is a statement about the Word of God. Through the knowledge of him. You see that? All Scripture is breathed out. It's profitable. It's good. It's sufficient. It's good for us. It's designed to help us. And then, the Scriptures are without error. Sanctify them in your truth. Your Word is truth. You know, we can say whatever we want. We can believe the Word of man that changes often. Or you can root yourself in what God says. And he says his word is truth. It's truth. It's a firm foundation. The Scriptures are for your life. God's word is good and necessary for life. Of course, we said it's profitable. It's profitable. I don't have that 316 up again. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Makes us wise. How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation, so that you could know Christ through faith in Christ Jesus. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. For your life to make you wise, we need wisdom in this world to change us. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's good for us for wisdom, to change us, to help us live in a way that pleases God. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Wise for salvation. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, for your life, it's profitable. For wisdom, to change you, to keep you on the right path, and really just for salvation. One of the things that it means when the Bible is called special revelation is that without the Bible, without the Word of God, you're lost. You're lost. And I just talked to someone this week about that. Didn't want to believe that because there's some person somewhere that didn't ever have a Bible, and so God is mean because of that. Okay. You can talk to God about that at some point. Romans chapter 1 is very clear about that. Everyone is accountable. Every soul is accountable. But we need the Scriptures, because without the Scriptures, we cannot be wise to salvation. Wise to salvation. It's for your life. It's for you. To help you to know God. To be right with God. To keep you on the right path. Notice how the text that we're in today explains this. Teaching. Divine instruction. The Bible is God's teaching. All Scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching. It's good for instruction, just for God the Creator to tell us how to live, what is right and wrong. What you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's the Word of God that we use to teach. I want you to think about just your experience a little bit this morning with me. Everyone in your world at some level or another is teaching. It's incredible to me the amount of teaching you see on Facebook. Huh? A place is full of teaching. It's not all good teaching. Amen? All the talking heads of your world, every person has a voice. Everybody wants you to believe something, and most of them are making it up as they go along. Quite honestly. It's why there's so much confusion in the world. And people don't want to believe that. I don't like to believe that. Picking and choosing what they want to believe. It's God's word that is divine instruction. Think about how critically important that is for you today, for us today, that your Creator has spoken to you through His Word. He has spoken to you. You can know right from wrong. You can know what's true and not true. You can know how to know Him. You can know Him through His Word. So the Word of God is good. It's divine instruction. It's profitable for reproof. And this means to speak against sin, to rebuke sin, or even specifically false doctrine. And the purpose is to bring conviction over sin. It's not to, that's part of, I think, probably our problems interacting in the world. It's not just to prove you're right or because you're angry because someone else is wrong. It's to help them see their sin. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so it's, you know, the Word of God is useful, it's profitable for speaking against what's wrong, speaking against sin. And why? It's because the Word of God is what gets in and cuts. And it breaks the heart. And as God's Spirit works, then it shows the person that they have strayed from God's will, what God says, and then they repent. And they turn to God, and God accepts them because of Christ. And it's not just because we're angry and want to fight about something or someone's wrong or we want to emphasize that, but it's for their good to bring conviction over sin so that they will turn to God. And Paul prayed that, oh, that they would. And he even said to pray for them that they might come to a knowledge of the truth for correction in the next part. For correction. And that means literally to set upright what has fallen, to fix our problem. Correction. So it not only tells you when you're wrong and brings conviction of sin, it gives you a pathway to be right with God, to be fixed. To set upright. That's what the word literally means, to set upright what has fallen. It's good for training in righteousness, spiritual training, positive discipleship. Let's go to here. Training in righteousness. Then that's sort of the no active sin to confront or whatever, but just to grow so that you can avoid those kind of things. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching. It helps give us divine instruction, what has God said, for reproof, to bring conviction of sin, for correction, to set up right what has fallen, and then for training in righteousness, to continue the process of growth in Christ as we live together. That the man of God may complete. There is a goal. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We call it spiritual maturity. Complete. Right? Now, Paul knew he wasn't complete, right? In the sense that we would use it in the English word. Okay? Done. But he was thoroughly equipped, right? He was mature. He could do any work that God needed him to do. Equipped for the work. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. That's what that literally means, just to be mature. What does it mean to be a mature Christian? That you know the Lord, that you love the Lord, that you know the Lord's word, that you do his word, that you keep his word, and that you're training others to do his word, that you're doing the work of the ministry. You are doing the good works that God has called you to do. You loving God, loving your neighbor, making him known. God's word is good for your life. If you think about it, before we move on to the application part, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that just make sense? It makes sense to me. Doesn't it make sense? I mean, if the Creator, okay, so the Creator, the person who made us, took the time to communicate to us a book, a set of words, instruction, that the words would be for the creation. Doesn't that make sense? That the one created would hear from the Creator, this is who I am, this is how I made you, and here's how your life works, right? That makes perfect sense. You don't open up your car glove compartment on the first day you bought it and pull out a refrigerator manual, right? Here's how your refrigerator works. Why would I need a refrigerator manual? I have a car. Okay? It's good for us. It's for us. There's a man, his name is Bart. I think his name is spelled Ehrman. Ehrman. He has a name almost as bad as mine. And he grew up in a Christian home. And he professed to accept Christ at a young age. But then as he got older, he got into learning establishments and things. And people started to challenge his faith, and he gobbled it up. He gobbled up all the lies. And I'm throwing stones. That's easy to do. And there's a lot of people that want to ruin your faith in the world today. And he started to, Paul said a lot of learning increases pride. Well, that's what happens. And he became what we call today a critical textual scholar. Critical, that'd be nice. That's your job description. You're critical, right? Well, it just means you're taking a look at the Bible, but they're looking at it from an eye of this isn't true. Okay, and they're trying to, they wouldn't say that, but that's what they're doing. They're trying to drum up any proof that they can that the Bible is not true, and that's what he dedicates his life to, this guy now. And he's an atheist. He teaches at some university. I didn't take the time to look it up. I can't remember. And he teaches New Testament. Yay. Hates God. Teaches college students New Testament. And the story is, and he does this all the time, I guess, when new students come in, there'll usually be someone who believes that the Bible is God's Word. And they'll say something about it, and he'll say, "You don't believe that." And, "Oh, yeah, sure I do," right? And so he has a copy, and so he'll hold it out, and he'll say, "All right, everyone in this room that has read this from front to back at least once, raise your hand." Okay? That's what he'll say. Okay, everyone that's read it from front to back this year, raise your hand. Everyone that's read it today, raise your hand. Now, if you believe that the creator of the universe wrote a book and gave it to you, why are you not reading it? This is an atheist, by the way, right? That's powerful stuff. All right? Amen? You see, God's word is for you. It's for your life. It's your creator writing to you. He's telling you what life is about. He's telling you how to live. He's telling you what's good. He's telling you what's right and wrong. He's telling you about himself, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing. He gives you strength and renews you day by day through his word. He encourages you. He brings conviction over sin by his word. He bolsters you by his word. It's for you. It's practical. It's profitable. It's good. And we're human. We're human. We have our weaknesses. But shouldn't there in every Christian be a yearning for the word of the Creator? Shouldn't there? There really should. To say, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to greet my God and I'm going to pray to him and thank him for the new day that I'm going to consume. I'm going to feed on the beautiful word that he has given me. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to praise him today and then I'm going to go about my day. Why? Because I need him. I want to hear from him. I know him. I want him to speak to me today. It's good. It's profitable. His word will make me wise. I live in a world where I desperately need wisdom. Where there's people challenging what I believe every day and trying to tear me down. I need change. I need rebuke. I need the sin in my own heart that I am so easy to overlook. I need it exposed. I need God's word to cut into those places of me that I'm hiding even from myself. I need instruction from my God how to live, what to do, what's right and wrong. I need the fallen parts of me to be set upright. I need change to correction, to do what God says instead of my own will. And I know that I'm not complete yet. I need spiritual maturity. I need more training in righteousness. Positive discipleship. I need God to continue the work that He begun in me as He has promised. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of thankfulness in your heart to God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we read, we delight in the scriptures, and we read it every day. We memorize the scriptures because we need to store it up in our hearts. I'm sure you know how incredibly important it is to have the word ready when you're confronted in life. And you may have your phone on you, but a lot of times you don't have your Bible with you. So you need to have God's word in your heart. And it's more than just having it handy, isn't it? When you're storing up, when you're memorizing God's word, it's that you have it at the ready. I mean, it's just right there. When someone's speaking, you know that, wait a minute here, no. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. I remember several years ago, one of the sad, funny stories that we had where some Mormon boys came over and they started talking to me about a book of the Bible that I was memorizing. Okay? That was a great conversation. Okay? They wanted to get off that book pretty soon. Okay? So memorize it. Memorize the Word of God. We read it. We delight in it. We read it. We memorize it. Hearing messages. You're here for that today. And that's a weakness for me. I have to really make an effort to that. And it's great when I can go places and hear a message. Admonishing one another. Hearing messages, and then apply what you learn. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. Take the word as it is intended, that it is for you. It is. It's good for you. It's profitable. It's a good thing when God points out things in your life that need to change, and then He sets right what is wrong, and then trains you to avoid those things in the future. It's a wonderful thing. And put those into practice. Don't just be a hearer and then go on and do nothing about it. Even today, as you think about just the Word of God itself, you know, put something into practice today. How could I do better? Every one of us here could do better. And get a plan, put that into practice. Maybe it's even just how you think about the Word of God. Just start there. Is God's testimony your delight? That would be a good change to make today. I invite you to pray with me. And we'll just thank God for His Word and just continue to look for Him to make the change that we need in our lives. Lord, we are so thankful that You chose to send us truth about through so many people over so many years, and perfectly preserved for us so that we can know You today, know Your will, be totally confident in what You've communicated, despite the lies of people like the Ehrman guy that I read his criticisms, just not even just disingenuous, not even true. But Lord, we know that You have spoken, and in Your truth we place our hope, because we live in a crazy world full of lies and deception, with a very real devil working to tear us down. God, Your word is truth. You are the rock that is higher than I. And You have the authority to speak. You made us. Of course You have a design for us to live. Help us, God, as we know the bent of our heart and we have need for submission. God, we love You. We want to see Your name glorified. We want to see Your word used and put into practice. And we want to learn more of You every day. And so just help us as we sort those very practical applications out today evening, or our groups and our families and things, and we're just looking forward to what you're going to do with us, and just a lot of anticipation and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.